want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is The Real Reason We Are Here, Part 2. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Jesus made 12 disciples who could reproduce themselves in the lives of others. Jesus did lots of good during his 3 years, 3.5 years most say, but his focus was to equip his disciples. Understand, in John 17:4, he said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. This is Jesus talking to the Father. He said, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, understand, most people say, well, the work he came to do was to die on a cross and to raise from the dead. And that is true. That is true. That was a part of what he came to do, the most important part. But that's not the only thing. When he said these words to the Father, he was not dead yet. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. He hadn't been resurrected yet. This was before he was going to the cross. And he was not talking about his death, burial, and resurrection right there. Because, again, he hadn't gone there yet. What he was talking about was teaching and demonstrating his commands to his disciples. He's saying the work that you gave me to do in this context is to teach them the commands that he gave, to teach them the things that would help them to become disciples who make disciples. Now, it is very possible that people could sit through 3.5 years of church services and hear teachings for 3.5 years and walk out and go, oh, well, yeah, I was pretty good. I like that one part, or that spoke to me, or this spoke to me. But it is very possible that people walk out of here and never do anything with it. But we don't want that. So again, he's talking about those teachings and preparing them for their future as disciple makers who would teach others the things that he was teaching them. He was equipping them to carry on his ministry after he died. The disciples became the messengers who carried the message around the world. And it ended up costing them their lives. Traditionally, that's what they say. But the truth of the matter is, they did it. And we're here today because they did it. They obeyed. When Jesus commissioned them to make disciples of all nations, they did not have to take a class on discipleship at that particular time because he had already discipled them over the span of 3 years. So again, it's all part of the process. Everything that we learn, everything we hear, every time we study that Bible, every class we take, every service we come to, every experience we have, we should be saying, God, how can you use this in my life to help me become a disciple and a disciple maker? So the disciples are their messengers who carry a message. And listen, we want to give you a message to carry. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? Somebody's got to preach this gospel. And it better be done more than just behind a pulpit somewhere. Somebody should be preaching the gospel. Like one guy said, you know, it's not just about speaking, but, you know, preach the gospel. And if you have to use words, do so, right? In other words, our life, the way we live, should be preaching the gospel to people. And at least what it'll do is draw them into questioning, what do you have that's allowing you to live this way? Be a Christ follower. Listen, understand, that's not a spectator sport. I used to say it all the time, I hadn't said it in a long time, but Jesus never called us to be spectators. He called us to be participators. And those who choose to be spectators instead of participators need to be careful lest they become a fried tater somewhere, sometime. You don't have to think about that one, I guess. But all of us are messengers who share the message, and then we disciple those who believe. In the book, The Unchurched Next Door, the author, his name is Tom Rainer, he noted that most unchurched people do not sense that Christians actively try to share their faith and they wonder why. Unchurched people most wonder, why don't Christians share their faith? I remember somebody telling me they'd gone to New York, and they said, man, you talk about different New York City, that literally as you're walking down the street, you don't dare look anybody in the eye. Nobody looks anybody in the eye. They just walk, 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 looking down. They don't want to look up at people. They only look up to see where they're going, but they don't want to look at each other. Now, I've never been there. I can't confirm that. But he said the reason is that nobody trusts anybody. And that's hard for me to believe, that a whole city with all those people, that nobody trusts anybody. But by and large, I could see the big picture that it could be that way, especially in an area maybe where there's a lot of crime, that kind of thing. But people just mind their own business. And much of the church has kind of taken that same kind of mentality. Well, I'm just going to mind my own business. But when it comes to a person's destiny, whether hell or heaven, your business is my business. Their business is your business. And so we need to be about the Father's business. That's the business we need to worry about. And so he said this, and then I read this illustration. We're going to end with this. But how many of you have ever heard of the magicians? It's a duo called Penn and Teller. Anybody ever heard of them? They're kind of comedic magicians. Two guys, one of them, he never speaks. And they do incredible magic acts and that kind of thing. Well known for many, many years. But Penn Jillette is a well-known atheist. This is a man who, I mean, he doesn't just not believe in Jesus. I mean, he's one of those outspoken atheists that love to just, you know, kind of put Jesus down, that kind of thing. He doesn't believe he exists. Penn Jillette is part of, as I said, Penn and Teller, and they've been headlining Vegas shows for many, many years with comedy and art of illusion. Penn has never been shy about his belief in God or his disbelief in God, often writing about his conviction in articles and best-selling books. Yet, in an online video blog that can be found on YouTube, Penn shared a story about the time that a gracious Christian businessman, and by the way, I heard this businessman's testimony too, about how God told him to go bring a Bible to this man, Penn Jillette. And Penn shares a story about when this Christian businessman gave that Bible to him as a gift. And Penn goes on to use the story as an opportunity to point out that Christians who don't evangelize must really hate people. And here's his direct quote. This is what he said, this atheist man. This is what he said. He said, I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who do not proselytize. Now, what does proselytize mean? That just simply means trying to convert from their state of belief into your understanding of truth, right? That's what proselytize means. So he says, I don't respect people who do not proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there is a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell and not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this truth because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, saying, just leave me alone and keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize them? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming to hit you and you didn't believe it and that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you, and this is more important than that. What is he saying? If you believe in eternal life, that it's going to be heaven or hell, and you don't bother to tell someone that, then pulling someone out from in front of a truck or tackling them to keep them from getting ran over by a truck is telling them about heaven and hell and Jesus is more important than saving their life on the earth. That's what he's saying. If you really believe that, then how much do you have to hate people to not give them the truth that you believe? And I thought, this is one of the most powerful, convicting messages I ever heard, and it came from an atheist. Isn't that amazing? Now, Penn Jillette still needs to come to Christ. He still has not surrendered his life to Christ. I know he's got a lot of people praying for him. But I did see a video where another man, Ray Comfort is, he's a Christian preacher, an evangelist. I love to listen to Ray Comfort. I love to watch his videos. He's always evangelizing people. But I saw a video where Ray Comfort tried to set up an opportunity. He was going to debate with kind of a atheist guy, and Penn Jillette showed up there, and Ray Comfort started trying to interview him. He wanted to talk with him. And Penn Jillette began to kind of try to get away from him. And as Ray followed him to try to catch him, because he wanted to truly share the gospel with him and talk with him, then Penn Jillette began to try to get away from him and not paying attention because he's trying to get away from him. He steps out on a road. There's a car parked, and he steps out on a road, and he doesn't even realize there's a truck coming. And as he goes to step out on that road, Ray Comfort literally grabs him and pulls him back, saving his life. Isn't it interesting that he used that example, and yet here comes a Christian man and does exactly that? Someone asked in the first service, but did he get saved? The answer is no, he is not. But it gives us a good reason to pray for him. I want to tell you, sometimes people can be just so hard-headed, so stubborn, hard-hearted. We don't know what happened in Penn Jillette's life to cause him to harden his heart like that. But I tell you what, we can pray for him and God can soften his heart. But even more important than that, what about the people you and I do know? What about the people who are in our circle? What about the people that we do have some kind of influence on? Are we trying to ensure that they don't go to hell, that they go to heaven? And not only that, but that they become disciples of Jesus Christ, so that they can also keep other people from going to hell and helping other people get to heaven? Are we doing our part?
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.